Is it enough?
No. Well, it's recording anyway, so. I know.
Anyone else? Okay.
But it records, so.
Okay, great. Okay. We left off on Friday, really using the sugya as a springboard. We tried to discuss some of the fundamental yisodos, some of those lomdish klal v'chas. So we started out with a machlokes amoraim between Rav Huna and Rav Chisda. What do you do when you have shtei kitei edim and machisha zuazu? One set of edim say we broke the window. The other set of edim say no, he didn't break the window. So obviously, concerning the window, we can't do anything because we have a hachosha, we have a contradiction. So we have to throw all sets of edim out of base. Question is, what about further cases when one of the sets of edim comes in a month later and testifies about David bar Tzav Das from Shlomo? Another set comes in and testifies that Naphtali's ox gored a dovid. We have new cases. What do you do? So Rav Huna said that each set of edim independently is kosher. Why is that? So the Rashbam explained, because each set has what we call a cheskes kashrus. Each set of edim, each individual edim was kosher when he turned bar mitzvah, when he was 50, when he was 20, when he was 25, when he was 30. He had a chazok, he had a status quo of being kosher. Now we have a latest asafek. We're not sure whether. So we have two sets of eight in the country that contradict each other. According to Abuna, both sets are independent for caution for future cases. Each one has a chazaka, a status quo. And Chizda said, no, 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 you can't do that. You cannot invoke the sugya of status quo of chazaka bekara for future cases. Why not? So the Rashbam explained, according to Rav Chisda, because what you're doing, in fact, is using a chazaka mamon. You can't do that. You cannot use a status quo of hotzi mamon. What you can use to the hotzi mamon is edim. Anything short of edim. Anything short of edim is not going to be a hotzi mamon. So we, on Friday, we turned the question back on Rav Huna. L'chaora, Rav Chisda is right. How in the world can Rav Huna say that we're going to, in effect, use the chazaka beikara l'hotzi mamon? Don't we have a rule that we cannot even use a robe l'hotzi mamon? We have a shilin basin. We're not sure whether Reuven owes Shimon the money. And we're pretty sure that he owes the money. We're 95% sure that he owes the money. We have a robe that he owes the money. Ain holchim mamonach robe. You cannot use robe to take away someone's money. So kavu chomer, you can't take away a person's money based on rov. Chazaka, we all know that nearly following the status quo is not a significant principle as rov, because you have to throw ruba v'chazaka, ruba adif. So if you just connect the dots, put together all the pieces of information, all this klal and shas, ruba v'chazaka, ruba adif, ein ochel mamnach rov. The transitive property of geometry will tell us that if rov doesn't work, so chazaka doesn't work either. So we're literally back to square one. What is going on with Rav Huna? How in the world can Rav Huna tell us that we're using chazaka l'hotzi mamon? So we left off on Friday with the Pnei Yeshua's tremendous chiddush. Pnei Yeshua.
Maybe chazaka by itself is not motzi because he's machzik. So motzi mechaver olam araya. So it's just the opposite because chazaka is the person who's machzik the item.
The chazaka, we want to use a chazaka meikar status quo to take away somebody's money. So that's exactly what Ravuna is doing here. We're being machshir the edim based on status quo. And then in a month from now, we're going to turn around and say, when these edim testify that Reuven owes Shimon money, we're going to take Reuven's money away. Right.
But the definition of chazaka is being machshir. And the principle of machshir, mekarer olav araya, the whole definition of the idea of chazaka is machshir. Reuven is a different concept.
Okay. So we're going to refine through that a little bit. So to solve this dilemma, the Pnei Yeshua turned the world literally upside down. Comes the Pnei Yeshua and says that chazaka can work l'hotzi mamon, and rov cannot work l'hotzi mamon. And those two statements are not a contradiction to the rule of chazaka v'chazaka. Why not? says the Bnei Yeshua, Ruba v'chazaka Ruba Adif does not mean that Rove is independently greater than Chazaka. That is just not a true statement. In the hierarchy of Klolim and Halacha, Chazaka is on the top of the top of the top of the line. Rove's down there, tucked away somewhere in the middle. Chazaka is actually more powerful than Rove. Chazaka can do what Rove cannot do. So what does Ruba v'chazaka Ruba Adif mean, according to Bnei Yeshua? What it means is, just because Chazaka is more powerful than Rove, there's something about Rove almost that neutralizes Chazaka. Sometimes you have, that was the example we tried about the fire and the water on Friday, that sometimes you have two factors, A and B. The fact that A beats out B, it doesn't mean that A is more powerful. It doesn't mean that A is stronger than B. Because there's a certain characteristic that A has that neutralizes B. We try to fine tune what that was a little bit on Friday. So the bottom line is, according to the Bnei Yeshua, the cloud bubble is, Rove doesn't work, Lotzi Mamon. Chazaka does work, Lotzi Mamon. And Ruba v'chazaka Ruba Adif does not mean Rove is greater than Chazaka. Now, the Bnei Yeshua really turned the world upside down. Nobody, the Bnei Yeshua claims everybody thought this way, but I don't think anybody thought this way until the Bnei Yeshua came along. Everybody read the Gemara in Kedushin that says, Ruba v'chazaka Ruba Adif fish. Come on, A is greater than B. Sure, call it a day. So what is it that turned, that forced the Bnei Yeshua to turn the world upside down? So we left hanging at the very, very end of the year on Friday a question that Tosis poses. It's based on the Gemara beginning of Maseches Chulin. The Gemara raises two questions in Maseches Chulin. How do you know that you follow Chazaka? And the Gemara tries very, very hard to find your apostle, Mark or Tosh, Menoha Milsa, that you follow Chazaka. And then the Gemara asks the next question. By the way, Menoha Milsa, does Lina Basa Rove. How do you know that you follow Rove? And the Gemara spends another block trying to figure out, how do you know you follow Rove? So comes the Bnei Yeshua and says, I don't understand the flow of the Gemara. The Gemara just asked, how do you know you follow Chazaka? And the Gemara solved that problem. And then the Gemara says, and how do you know you follow Rove? Stop, says the Bnei Yeshua. If Rove is really, truly greater than Chazaka, if I know that I follow Chazaka, we apply the rule of Kal V'Chomer. If Rove is greater than Chazaka, so if I follow Chazaka, Kol Shekein, that I follow Rove. So why does the Gemara just say that? Why does the Gemara dress a cup and waste that time for a blot and a half to figure out this mocker or that mocker rejects this mocker? Just simply answer. If you follow Chazaka, Kol Shekein that you follow Rove. What do you see from that Gemara, from the fact that the Gemara doesn't do that? Says the Bnei Yeshua, the only conclusion you can draw is that Rove is not greater than Chazaka, which is exactly the Bnei Yeshua's theory, that on the hierarchy of proofs, the hierarchy of klolim and halacha, Rove is just not better than Chazaka. That doesn't mean anything. That's something totally different. But in the hierarchy of halacha, Rove is not greater than Chazaka. So the Bnei Yeshua is pitting his entire theory on that one kasha. But we have to be intellectually honest. The Bnei Yeshua is also intellectually honest. He is not the first one to ask this kasha. This kasha was asked a long, hundreds of years before the Bnei Yeshua was born. This kasha was already asked. And actually, a different answer was given. And the different answer also relates to many, many of the klal that we've been talking about. So let's take a look at the fourth set of Ravikamas. Tell us this question. So the beginning of the fourth set of Ravikamas, tell us in Chulun Yid Aleph and Aleph. Mino ha-milsa da amir rabban and zilbasa ruba. V'yim toima. Keva di amrina and zilbasa chazaka. Kol shekein basa ruba. The ruba v'chazaka ruba adif. By golly, the exact. The question that the Bnei Yeshua thought of in Frankfurt in the 1700s, Tosfos thought about back in France, back in the 1100s. This is an age-old question. If I already know Chazaka, what do I need a post to tell me, Rove? So we're going to skip down a little bit to Lamaidim Mefarsh Rabbeinu Chaim. So says Tosfos, Lamaidim Mefarsh Rabbeinu Chaim. Rabbeinu Chaim was a Talmud of Rabbeinu Tam. There was Rabbeinu Chaim Katz, Rabbeinu Chaim HaKohen. One of the fascinating things about Rabbeinu Chaim, besides the fact that he was a Talmud of Rabbeinu Tam for many years, he actually moved to Eretz Yisrael. He was part of those group of Aliyah Tosis that went on Aliyah. Going Aliyah back in the 1100s was not. I don't want to minimize the Aliyah today, but it was a little bit of a more challenging route. The only way to get to Eretz Yisrael was you had to follow the Crusaders, because they were the ones who built the roads. So you can imagine what treacherous of going on Aliyah in those days. Rabbeinu Chaim made it to Eretz Yisrael. And the mind of Farshim Rabbeinu Chaim, the hand of Ruba Adif Bechazaka, lo misvara, Eliyafinan the para aduma the azlina basaruba afaga the ike chazoka keneged harov to uki gav v'shemazel lo becheskes tomi yasi shapiracha. Chaim, from left field, there's a whole shir kloli because he's sending the message from Eretz Yisrael. Comes Rebbeinu Chaim and says, let's backpedal literally 100 steps. Says Rebbeinu Chaim, this rule of chazaka ruba adif, where did it come from? What's the mokor for this rule? Again, this is pre-Pnei Yeshua days. This is in the mindset of people who thought that rove is actually greater than chazaka. Who determined that? Who made that up? Who thought of that grandiose idea that rove is greater than chazaka? I don't know. Maybe rove, maybe chazaka, maybe one's better, the other better. How do you know which is more powerful? So Ben Chaim said, it's actually based on the following. How do you know that you follow chazaka in the first place? What's the source version of chazaka that you follow chazaka? The Gemara says, very simple. Not quite simple, but very simple, the Gemara says. We spoke about this last week. The Kohen comes to inspect the house with the Neged Tzaras, takes a look at it, looks green, he's got the right shear, he measures it. I'm about to say tummy. Wait, don't say tummy yet. It's foolish to say tummy now. You say tummy now, you're going to end up having to go to the mishpah. You're in a house that's tummy. So go outside, lock the door, stand across the street and say, that house across the street is tummy. So he asks the Gemara, wait a second. How can the Kohen do that? The Torah says, V'yotza Kohen min abayis. He goes out and says, tummy, how can he do that? Maybe it changed. Maybe the nega shrunk in the last 30 seconds. The Gemara says, come on, that's a joke. The nega shrunk. 30 seconds ago, the nega was this size. Now it changed? No. The Torah must be assuming that we live our lives based on chazaka. And that is the mokor in Torah itself for the principle of chazaka. So chazaka be'ikara is rooted in Pashas Mitzorah Megibatim. Menoham milsa diyom rabban and zubos of ruba. How do you know you follow Rov? That's an easy one. The pasuk says, "Achrei Rav Mahatos." The pasuk of Pashas Mishpatim says, "When you have 3 days on him, two say chai, one says potter, you follow the Rov." So 2 out of 3, you follow the Rov. So that's a simple source for the principle of Rov. Says the Gemara, "No, it's not." That's a simple source for the principle. It's called the ruba de isa kamon. There are two kinds of roves in halacha. This we call ruba de isa kamon. Ruba de isa kamon means the classic case: 10 stores. 9 selling kosher, 1 selling treif, find a piece of meat on the floor, I can rely on the rove. Why is it called Ruba Isa Kamon? I can count up the rove. Store 1, store 2, store 3, store 4, treif. When all the numbers are in front of me, all the parts of the sofe can be counted, can be literally counted for, that's called the Ruba Isa Kamon. A Ruba de Lesa Kamon means some kind of a very vague statement about biology, about psychology, about some statistics, about the way the world functions. Rove behemos enon treifos. Most animals are not treif, and therefore I can shecht an animal, eat it, and assume I don't have to open up its stomach and its head to make sure it doesn't have a treif to it. Rove behemos enon treifos. Somebody sat down and counted every single animal in the world? Come on. How did we come to make that statement? Observation of the world. Looking around, we see most animals look pretty good. Go to the zoo, go to the farm, you see animals are walking around. Most animals aren't just falling, collapsing from holes in hearts and holes in heads all the time. Every once in a while, you see a sickly looking animal, but for the most part, animals look pretty healthy. Rove behemos enon treifos. Well, let's say the Moshe, the Gemara says, Rove noshim letes yoldos. Most women give birth at 9 months. Most do not give birth at 7 months. Somebody sat down with statistics and counted every single woman and said, 10 million women gave birth in 9 months, and 500,000 gave. No, that's not what happened. We're looking around at the world, we see women give birth, babies look pretty good, babies look pretty young. Now, once in a while, you hear, did you hear there was a baby born at 26 weeks? But you don't hear that often. So, Rove, Nashim, Letes, Yeldos. So, many, many Roves are the latter kind. We call the Ruba de Lesa Kamon. Yes, the Gemara, Minoha Milsa, that you follow Ruba de Lesa Kamon. The fact that you follow Ruba de Isa Kamon, Dayanim, Isa, come on, 3 Dayanim. There's Reuven, Shimon, Levi. Count up to say Chai. What's his potter? That's like the case of the meat and the stores. But how do you know you can rely on Reuven the Leisa commands? We live our lives based on Reuven the Leisa commands. Where does that come from? So the Gemara tries so hard to find the source. So one of the fascinating sources the Gemara says is you have to really, Chazal had such a depth, such an understanding. They looked at Dini Torah. They saw things that I don't know about you, but I would never see in a million years. They got the Pashas Chukas, and they read Paraduma. Oh, Paraduma, that's the source for Ruben Leiskeman. Paraduma, do anything. You shech the Paraduma. You're not allowed to open up that Paraduma to check whether it has a hole in its heart and its head and its stuff. You know, I do that. Why? Because the Torah says, the shacharis on the front of the saras apara. You have to sorish the parah. You have to burn the parah bishleimusa. You have to burn the parah as one unit. You can't start chopping it up and opening it up and doing dissections and sending it for, you know, for scans to see. The whole parah's got to be burned. It's basically the Torah built into the system of the mitzvah parah dula is the assumption that you're not checking this parah for treifus. Why do I care whether the parah is treifus? I'm not eating the parah. So what do I care? The answer is that a parah duma has a status like a korban. Chatosi, chatos karechamana. It carries, it's a very strange korban. It's not shechted in the basement mikdash, it's actually shechted outside the basement mikdash. The dam is not, it's not sprinkled on the mizbech, it's sprinkled in other places, but it's not a korban in the classic sense of the word, but it has certain characteristics of karbanos. And one of those characteristics is just as a korban cannot be a treifa, so to put it, it cannot be a treifa. So now the Torah just checkmated us because on the one hand, the din is, it cannot be a treifa. And if I know for a fact it's treifa, then the whole carbon, the whole part of doom is psula min haTorah. On the other hand, how am I going to know that? And there's no way physically. I mean, short of doing an ultrasound on this part, which in the days of Moshe Rabbeinu we weren't doing, how in the world am I going to know that it is or is not a treifa if I don't open it up to see? So what's the answer? What do I say? There's one answer. You follow Rav. That's the answer. There's no other answer. But you follow Rav. So says the Gemara, that's one of the many, many Mekiris. You follow the principle of Ruben the Leisa Kamana. Now, whether or not that becomes the source at the end is a loaded discussion. The Gemara continues. We're not learning Chul Dafyud right now. But this is one of the sources for Ruben the Leisa Kamana. There comes a bit of Chaim Kohen, the following phenomenal insight. It says about him, Chaim Kohen, when the Torah is telling us that you follow Rove, within the Pasha, within the Pasha Paraduma is the assumption you follow Rove. I'm going to take this paraduma, I'm going to burn it, I'm going to sprinkle the ashes on somebody, and I'm going to declare that you are now Tohor. So Reuben is declared Tohor based on what principle? Going back for 20 years ago when we prepared this para, Rove. Rove is the engine that's driving the tower of this person. Well, guess what? Up until now, this guy Reuben was Tohor. We know he went to a cemetery 2 weeks ago, so he has what we call a chazaka meikar of tuma. So wait a second. He has a cheskes tuma, and we're declaring him to be tohor based on a rove. Now again, if you would have asked me, I would have seen this in a million years. But says Ibn Chayyim, he looked at the world in such lumdish categories. Every sprinkling of Eifer Paraduma is an application of the principle called, believe it or not, Ruba the Chazaka, Ruba Adif. Because the Chazaka says he was tummy. The rove says the para is tohor. How does the Torah set up such a scenario? Has the Torah create such a phenomenon? The answer is, licked in this pasuk, Ruben b'chazak, Ruben adif. So comes Rabbeinu Chaim and says, the idea of Ruben b'chazak, Ruben adif is not something that we sat around one day and philosophized. We all of a sudden came upon it on our own. Ruben b'chazak, Ruben adif is a pasuk. Once we have the parasha of Chazak and we have the parasha of Rove, then we can mix the two together and come up with this children and realize, hey, by golly, Rove is greater than Chazak. So says Rabbeinu Chaim, the kasha that the Baal HaTosfos were asking in France is not a valid kasha. What was this kasha? Tosfos said, once we have chazaka, let's say on our own, you follow Rove. Because doesn't everybody know Rove is better than chazaka? You put the chicken before the egg. We only know Rove is better than chazaka because the Torah tells us to follow Rove. We would not have known that on our own. So Rove is greater than chazaka based on the fact of the Makbar being paraduma. That gufa is the source, number one, that you follow Rove, and that is the source that Rove beats out Chazaka. So says Ibn Chaim, that's the emphatic answer to Tosfos Kasha. This is, of course, unlike the Pnei Yeshua. The Pnei Yeshua said, you know what the answer to Tosfos Kasha is? You know why we can't say on our own, if you follow Chazaka, Tal v'chom, you follow Rove, because Rove is not better than Chazaka. That was the Pnei Yeshua's theory. But the Pnei Yeshua was predated by the Baal HaTosfos, who said, no, it's not true. Rove is taka better than chazaka, 1,000,000%. But you wouldn't have known on your own. You need a pasuk of paraduma to teach us that. So we're back to square one. We're back to the fundamental question, how to understand Rav Huna and Rav Chisda, which is now revolving around a lumdish question. It's like heavy duty. You can't give a heavy duty lumdish of Sheikh Schmeitzer topics than this. Is Rove, Ruba the chazaka, Ruba Adif, an indication that Rove is greater than chazaka? That's what everybody thought until the Pnei Yeshua turned the world upside down. Rabbi Sai, there was one of the Gedolei Acharonim, world expert in all of these topics of robes and chazakas and tzvekas, and that is the Ketos. Ketos wrote the entire Sefer called the Sefer Sheif Shmaitza, which is dedicated to all of these kinds of topics, robes and chazakas and tzvekas and tzvekas and edus, etc. And again, there are different traditions just to exactly when the Ketos wrote the Sefer Sheif Shmaitza. He gives a little bit of an inkling as to when he wrote it. He writes in the introduction that he wrote the basic format of the Sefer, Kodem HaYosi Le'ish, before he became a man. That's what he writes himself, writes in his own words in the introduction. So there are different suggestions as to what he meant with that line. Did he mean before his bar mitzvah? That's when he wrote the basic format of the Sefer. What did it mean before he got married? I don't think there were that many years between the two. I don't know exactly how old he was when he got married, but he wasn't, probably was not all that old when he got married. So you're talking about the basic tzura of this Sefer was written by a fairly young teenager. One of the absolute Torah classics in this entire area. So one of the issues that the Sheikh Shmaitza takes up in that sugi is he does not believe the shum part of the oifa that the Yeshua's conclusion is correct. The Yeshua looked at the sugi and said, yeah, chazaka works out to your mama. Yeah, chazaka is greater than a rove. Not true. Poshut 100% not true. Says the Sheikh Shmaitza, I'm telling you that ruba v'chazaka, ruba adif means what it says. It doesn't mean some shtickle Torah story from Friday. It means what it says. Ruba v'chazaka. Ruba, you heard the next word. Adif. Adif means adif. Adif means better. It says the Sheikh Shmaitza, I'll explain to you why that's so. Where's a bit of Chayim? How do we apostate? It says the Sheikh Shmaitza. It's simple. It's simple logic. Ruba v'chazaka, ruba adif. It's based on the following. Sheikh Shmaitza said, it's all a question of time, of perspective. Chazaka is what we call today old news. It's yesterday's news. I have a shiloh in front of me. I have no idea what's really happening in real time. I don't know. But I do know something about the past. Last month, I was privy to a certain piece of information. I know the fellow was Tommy. I know the mikvah was kosher. I know the tefillah was kosher. I know the atlas. Whatever I knew in the past, I admit to you that I am clueless as to what's going on here and now. So comes the Torah and says, I wouldn't have said it on my own, but Torah Kedosh, Kedosh Baruch taught us this din, advice of Nuga, Chazaka Mekar works. So we accept the Chazaka Mekar, we follow the status quo. But we accept it kind of half-heartedly realizing, because we don't have any up-to-date information to the Rove is a statement of the truth. Here and now, Rove tells me, the facts on the ground are that today, whatever day it is, May 24th, at 6:45 in the morning. So today, I'm telling you, most animals are not trafe. Today, the facts are most women give birth at 9 months. That's real-time news. That's not last month's news. So says the Sheikh Shmaitza, when you have a contradiction between news that's up-to-date and last month's news, you have to be foolish to follow last month. Yeah. I'm telling you something that's more current. So of course, you follow the more current news. If you have a suffix, you don't know what the facts are, you don't know what to do in life. So you try to get the most up-to-date information as possible. That is the reason why Ruba v'chazaka, Ruba adif. Therefore, says the Sheikh Shmaitza, if Ruba v'chazaka, Ruba adif is simply a svara, what the Bnei Yeshua suggests is impossible to say that chazak works, lahotzi mamon, but rov doesn't. That doesn't make any sense. Rove is better than Chazak. A simple Rabbi Shmuel on the Kavach Chaimer. If Rove, which is today's news, which is up to date news, and it still fails, Chazak, which is last month's vacation news, is not going to work. Whenever I give this example to the Talmidim, when we speak about this, Sheikh Shmaitza, one of the most more popular things that we talk about, whenever we talk about tzvekis and Roves, etc., the Sheikh Shmaitza comes up. So I always give them the example. I say that this idea that Sheikh Shmaitza is teaching us that up-to-date current news is significantly better than last month's news. I say to them, that was the chiddush. The Talmidim that I speak to are too young to appreciate this. I'm not even born, but I think everyone here will appreciate it. This was the tremendous breakthrough. This is not an advertisement for any particular station. This was the breakthrough of CNN. During the first Gulf War. So I remember they used to say, when I'd be watching the news and CNN, they say, this war was brought to you by CNN. This is the first time in the history of the world that you watched a war in real time. And the Free of the Gadoiras, back in 1812, they were fighting wars. And then 5 years later, you found out there was a peace treaty. And it was the famous battle of 1814, that the battle took place after the peace was already declared. Nobody knew it. And everything was behind the times. So up until the 1990s, you watch yesterday's news. You watch live. You read a newspaper. What happened 6 months ago? CNN. You're on the battlefield. Mamash, they brought it to you. But Lahavim, that's what people were so excited about. It was Lahavim, the left of us. It's like watching a ball game. They were watching the tanks as was taking place. They said that was a whole new, approach to news. Now, my Tavidim, now they don't even understand what the world used to be like. Everything is real time today. Everything is the concept. Even if you think in your own mind, think about what was the difference between the original GPS system waves. Very simple. GPS told you exactly how to get from here to there last month. They didn't tell you that there are 4 hours of traffic. They tell you that this road existed 4 months ago. Take some data, go your own. It was an unbelievable breakthrough. 10 years ago, we were so excited about that. Now, kids would laugh at that. Probably what happened 6 months ago. I don't know what's happening now. I was coming back from a chasana the other night, and I was trying to get onto the highway, and the highway was closed. And I couldn't believe, state on Waze, that I was open. So the answer is even Waze didn't have it. It had just been closed 3 minutes before. Even Waze wasn't up to date. Even that was relying on Shtikla and Chazaka Mekha. So that's the point of the Shech mindset, that when you have a Rob and a Chazaka, of course Rob is going to beat out a Chazaka. But now, this doesn't bode well for us again, because if the Shech mindset is correct, or the Menor Chaim is correct, that Rub of the Chazaka really means what it says, that Rob actually beats out Chazaka because it's stronger. Going back to square one, how in the world can Rav Huna say, when I have two sets of Edim, I'm going to machshir both, and I'm going to be motzi mamon in 6 months from now, based on the Chazaka Meikara? How in the world can you be motzi mamon based on Chazaka Meikara? And says, we've been looking at the sugya through the eyes of Rav and Chazakas, which is better, which is stronger. We have to throw a new curveball into the sugya. There's something else that we've ignored until this point, says Rav Chanan, but this is going to be the key, the fundamental yisod of the entire sugya. Rav Chanan says it all begins with the Rambam. It's a Rambam in Hilchos Sanhedrin, Perek Tezayin, the fifth of the Rambam Kamos. The Rambam writes, Eino tzarish de'edim l'malkus, ela b'shas ma'iser. Aval iser atzma b'erechad yuchsu. Says the Rambam, we all know that to give a fellow malkus, for a person named Chalev, so he's going to be Chayav Kores, so Chayav Malkus, person named Chazir, whatever it was that he ate, he's going to be Chayav Malkus. How many Edim do you need to testify that he ate this item? Obviously, Apishnayim Edim, Yochum Dov. There's no way you can give him an Onesh Aguf without two Edim. But says the Rambam, what if I have two Edim that he ate this piece of Chalev? But how do I know that this is Chalev? Who told me this was Chalev? Do I need two Edim to tell me that it was Chalev? And then and only then, if he eats it, he becomes Chayev? So says the Rambam, no. Iser atzma be'en echid yuchsu. The Rambam is a tremendous chiddush. That to establish the facts on the ground, is it Chalev or not? Is it Chazer or is it not? One Ed is sufficient. For example, Ketzad says the Rambam. Amr Ed Echad Chalev Kalei Yisuzah. And Ed Echad comes and says, this is Chalev from the kidneys, the real treif of Chalev. Or Kiliya Kerem in Peres Edim. Or this fruit, this Kiliya Kerem, which is Asabana. Or Grusha is on Ishazu, or the Eirecha comes and identifies this woman as a Grusha. The Ochal goes and eats, Bol, or the Kohen, we're talking about, is Bol, this woman, the Eidel Achash Yeshiva. So there were two Eidim who saw him do the Maisa Aveira, but there are not two Eidim who established the facts in the ground before the Aveira. Says the Rambam, Harei Zeloke, Av Alpisha Ikra Isabedachon. The person is Chaim Malkus Ben Torah. Even though the facts were only established with one aid. What did the Rambam just tell us? A tremendous chiddush. But there's a huge difference in halacha between ascertaining was the maaseh done or ascertaining the prerequisites for finding out the pre-information before the shas maaseh. When is the term chadash api shnayim aidim yachum davar? That's vis-a-vis the maaseh aveir itself. Collecting info beforehand, there never was a halacha api shnayim aidim yachum davar. It's that Rambam. It's this Yisod in the Rambam, says Rav Chanan, that's going to become the key to understanding what Rav Huna said and what Rav Chisda disagreed with. Hopefully, Hashem, tomorrow we'll try to pick up from this the Kudu of the Rambam with Rav Chanan. As I was speaking, there was an alert. It said, from Fox News. I said, oh.